I was thinking, though, how could I introduce myself to you? Some of you know me very, very well. Others of you know me hardly at all. I thought I would introduce myself today as someone who hasn't been very successful. Probably one way of looking at it, even a failure, over the last several years. Over the last several years, I've been an elder at Village Church in Oak Park. A goal we had established for ourselves as a congregation was to penetrate the community of Oak Park with the good news of Jesus Christ. In trying to measure whether we achieved that goal or not, on one level, we probably had to say we didn't do too well. 5 years ago, Village Church, when it changed its name and moved into the community, had about 70, 75 people coming out in regular attendance on a Sunday morning. This past December, our last month at Village Church, the average attendance was about 70 to 75. So, at least looking at it just in terms of growth, we didn't do too well. Hopefully I'm not putting too much static out here. Trying to put the best spin on it, though. Oak Park is not Wheaton. It's a very unique community. Oak Park prides itself on its openness and its stand there. Oak Park is where we have the headquarters of the Humanist Society of America. It's in Oak Park. Oak Park was one of the first communities to open up and change its civil rights ordinance in the community to allow gay rights, etc. It's also one of the first high schools that felt it would be appropriate to have gay role models for the students in the high school. Oak Park is a community that recently rejected the request of the Catholic hospital in the community to display the cross. They wanted to display the cross on top of their hospital. And it's a Catholic hospital, private hospital, and the community of Oak Park, through their board of trustees, says no. That would be an offensive symbol in this community. We don't want you to do it. So, maybe just putting a little bit in context, when we think of being out on the front line and what's being accomplished, many times we think of being out in Papua New Guinea or Angola. But many times the front lines of spiritual warfare are much closer to home. In fact, we're all on the front line. And so I'd like to talk to you as someone who has been on the front line and maybe hasn't been too successful. We've been wounded, we've been bloodied. But at least we can say we're still standing up. So maybe that's success. That's where I'm coming from. I remember a few months ago I was standing up at that pulpit and I said, in this room, as I look around, we probably have more intellectual firepower than any other size group of believers meeting in the Chicago area today. And I honestly believe that. You got a lot of smart people here. You're very smart. I'd like to draw on that intellectual power as we go through our study. I've got this rover mic on, and if it doesn't pick up too much, I'm going to wander around and rove with it because I don't think I can add a whole lot of intellectual power that's in this room. But hopefully I can direct it so we can come up with some conclusions ourselves that are applicable to all of us. So I don't look at me as necessarily a leader of this study. Look at me as a discussion leader for the next few weeks. I've set one goal for myself, well, several goals, but one that I've set that I'd like to accomplish over the next few weeks through this study for all of us is that you will get something that you can apply in your own Christian walk. I want you to hold me to this. I'm setting you right up front. This is a go ahead. I would hope that by the time we get to the end of this month, each one of you can come up and say, Bruce, I got something that I was able to apply in my Christian life in the class during the month. I kind of put it this way for myself. If you can't use it on Monday, I don't want to be talking about it on Sunday. Okay? Do you know a little bit about me, where we're directing it, how I'd like to accomplish it, and the goal that I've set for ourselves? If I want it to be applicable to us today, then let's talk about something that is essential to our Christian walk. What are some of the things that you would consider are essential to your Christian walk? Okay, one, the Word of God. Anything else? Prayer. Anything else? The Lord's Supper. Okay? Anything else? Fellowship. Okay? Priesthood of the believer. Okay? All very good. And I'm sure there are many others. Fortunately, you listed the one that I chose to speak on. I wanted to talk about prayer. I think that is very important to each one of us. So the question I want to start out with is, why study prayer? Number one that I can put down, because I've already said it, essential to the Christian walk. Other reasons why we study prayer. Okay. Excellent. Thank you. Jesus is an example. Can you think of a couple of times Jesus in prayer? Okay, before he chose his disciples. Any others? Before he was baptized? Gethsemane, okay. So, I mean, many, many places that we got to see Jesus prayed. And if we say we're a disciple of Jesus, if he's doing it, it's probably important to us. Okay, Jesus is an example. Any other reason why we should study prayer? Okay, understanding. Maybe this is too simplistic, but are we told to pray? Yeah, I mean, the Bible says we should pray. Pray without ceasing. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. In everything with prayer and thanksgiving, let your request be known to God. We're told to. We're told to. Two other reasons why I think we should study prayer. One of them, maybe it's, we just assume, so we don't say it. We can improve our prayer. We can improve our prayer. During the first service, Bill Pollard said, we look forward when we can dream great dreams and pray great prayer. Since I was already thinking about this, that clicked in my back of mind, hey, what is a great prayer? As opposed to a poor prayer? And can we make something better or worse? And so I would like to suggest that we can improve our prayer. And one other that I'd like to suggest, as we're looking at different prayers in the Bible, as we look at these prayers in the Bible, we are going to learn about God. His character. So by studying prayers in the Bible, we'll get a glimpse into God's character. Next question I will ask. We're going to be talking about it, and we think it is important. We need to get better at it. What is prayer? You want me to the ultimate? Other. Bill. Okay. 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 Bill. That's right. That's what I was going to add. Communicating with God. Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm not sure I would include that in with prayer. Necessarily, because we normally think of prayer going from us up to God. But while we pray, God does communicate back to us. So I would definitely say it's included in that package. But I think typically when we think of prayer, we think of it as from us up to God. Yes. What about him? That's right, okay. He helps us in our prayer. Okay, Ed. I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm trying to think how I'm going to put that down. What Ed said is, prayer only seems to be effective when it is done by someone with a submissive spirit. Okay, that's a little bit more. But I'd like to change around this point and ask this question. I think communicating with God is a good definition of prayer. It kind of is telling us what it is. I would like to try and define it in terms of what is its function. This might be a little difficult to convey. It's kind of like the effective prayer. What does prayer accomplish for us? Intercession, okay. Intercession. What else does it accomplish for us? Helping us define and discern the will of God, okay. Okay, a catalyst for God's will to be done on earth, okay. What about for us individually, for the church, Cheryl? Okay, we're told to pray and ask Him what He wants us to do. Comforts us. When I think of learning, comfort, intercession for us, I think of a relationship. These are terms that define a relationship. With regard to our relationship to God, what role does prayer play in that relationship? I would like to suggest, at least for my own metaphor, that it is the muscle of our relationship. If you think once we're saved, and there is a relationship there, it's kind of like the bone. Don't hold me to this analogy too closely. It's there. And then that relationship can get stronger or it can get weaker. And that's the muscles in the body. I would like to suggest that prayer is the muscle of our relationship with God. With exercise and proper usage, we can strengthen it. With misuse or lack of use, it can atrophy and you'll lose something. So I would like to suggest as a functional definition, it is the muscle of our relationship. Something that can be strengthened or it can weaken. Something you can exercise and get stronger. The muscle of our relationship. Can you think back, because I want this to ask with us. We've defined already that prayer is important. It's essential to our Christian walk. It's communicating with God, all these things within our relationship that it does. Can any of you give me a brief testimony or an example of how prayer has accomplished this in your life in the last week or recently? How are you using prayer to build up that relationship? Or not? Yes, Mr. Ben. okay, Dad, I'll say, yeah, in the communication as God talking to you, how about us talking to God in prayer? One very close to me is, in this whole shift from Oak Park out to Batavia, we were focusing on starting a new assembly out in Batavia. There's been a lot of prayer that's been going in that. God, I mean, you're going to have to be there. You're going to have, I mean, I will build my church in the promise Christ has made, claiming that promise in prayer. The specific things we put upon that, putting together a core group, how are we going to go forward, etc. Absolutely. Absolutely. Going once back again is the analysis of the muscle of a relationship. It's claiming what he has done for us. Okay. Once again, going in the concept of the relationship in prayer, it puts that relationship in its proper context. Okay, given that, now let's step on to the next level. Then, should we study how we should pray? Now, on one level, it seems very, yeah, we should. But on another level, within our tradition, here in the, what I would call a primitive religion, that's what, unfortunately, that's what the sociologists call us, at least from a Western culture side, we're a primitive religion as opposed to a high religion. I mean, we don't have a book of prayers in our queue here. Our tradition is to kind of wing it, I guess. Is there a role, or should we be studying prayer and how we can improve it? Okay, why? A crisp person and someone over here. Yeah, the concept of the relationship. I think of it many times. People have said, well, because we can come and pray, it's like talking to your dad. I'm a father. Absolutely correct. Correct. And so we just kind of, like when you go to your dad or something, just start blabbing. You don't think about it very much. And on one level, that's absolutely correct. But as Judy mentioned, the context of a relationship, let's think of a husband and wife, and how important is communication between a husband and wife in their relationship. I'm a CPA, not an accountant. My guess, a counselor would tell you, that communication is probably one of the most important things in a marriage relationship. And when couples come in where there are marital difficulties, one of the things they'll have to work on is the communication process in that marriage. you can improve it. Concept of the communication within a relationship is very complex, and we can always be getting better at that. An example that came to me with regard to should I be working at prayer, so to speak, in this relationship. Think of a marriage relationship. For those of you guys here who are married, think back of when you asked your wife to marry you. A very intimate type of a question when you ask a young lady, will you marry me? When you did that, those of you who are married here, did you just kind of let it, did you just wing it? You're sitting on the table and saying, oh, no, by the way, honey, you know, will you marry me? Or did you put some thought process into that and make it a very unique and special time of communication? I know for myself, I put quite a bit of energy and effort and thought into how I wanted to ask Judy to marry me. Why? Because it was a very important question, and it was very important to the relationship that I was hoping to establish with her. I would say, likewise, prayer for us in our relationship with God. There are many different types of communication, but there is certainly a point in our communication with God, in our prayer with God, where we might put a little bit of time and effort and thought into how we're going to address it. I don't know. Basically, I think that's the other side of the coin, that all you need to do is, if you come with a pure heart, that's it. You got a good prayer. Is that, maybe I'm being simplistic in what you said, but summarizing it. I guess I would say, truly, God is perfect, and He is not going to turn away anyone who comes with a sincere heart. He's not. But, on the same side, because we are imperfect, I think working on our side of the relationship, working at prayer, it can do us a world of good. Not that it's going to improve our prayer. God's got it. Absolutely. But it can help us. Chris, and then we've got to move on. Absolutely. Absolutely. Prayer is the opportunity of saying thank you and I love you to God. First. Yeah, I that's one reason why I started out my introduction. I mean, I don't have the answer to all the mysteries of prayer. I don't intend to, but there's power in prayer as well. Absolutely. Yes. Absolutely. Going back, I don't want to dismiss what Bert said, that when we think of prayer, we think of ask and receive. But there's many different ways of asking and receiving. I also think prayer has a lot to do with praise. Even when you're not asking anything. Next thing I had on this is, where do we go from here? And because the time's almost up, what I wanted to start off with today was looking at prayers of praise and worship. And I wanted to go back and look at two songs of prayer or praise. One was Hannah, 1 Samuel chapter 2, the mother of Samuel. How after God answered her prayer, the asking request, ask and receive. Then she said, Hannah prayed. And it's a beautiful song of praise. She's not really asking for anything in that prayer. She's just praising God. The other one we were going to look at was Mary's Magnificat. She's just been chosen to bear the Savior of the world. And she breaks out in this beautiful song, which in many regards is almost parallel to Hannah's, which we're told in 1 Samuel is a prayer. I think both of these are prayers, neither one of which is in our context of, well, God, please give me this, or God, we need this. It's a prayer of just praising God for who He is. And our time's up, so we can't look at it. But this week, go back and read 1 Samuel chapter 2, about the first 10 verses, Hannah's prayer, and then go over to Luke chapter 1, verses 46 to about 56, and read Mary's Magnificat. Compare and contrast those two prayers. That's what I was hoping we would get to today. But yes. Well, that was the application I hope we would all have grabbed today, is we can work at prayer and ourselves come up with some of these great prayers of praise and worship. I picked two from the Bible, but, you know, the Common Book of Prayer. Many of these are in here. And working through those, it can be tremendously encouraging for our relationship with God. But now, just wrapping up really quick. So I was going to look at prayers that really had nothing to do with asking, just praising God. Today, we didn't get to that. Then, three other types of prayer. Petition and God's will. Asking that God would do His will. And in that, we're going to look at a prime minister and a wine minister. So next week, you might want to think about Nehemiah's prayer that God would do his will in Nehemiah chapter 1, and Daniel's prayer that God would do his will in Daniel chapter 9. So next week, we're going to prayer, petition for God and his will, a prime minister and a wine minister. The next week, we're going to look at requests for protection and help. And here I put it, two kings and an apostle. And we're going to look at the prayers of Hezekiah and Jehoshaphat in the Old Testament, where the kingdom of Israel is being attacked, and how they came and prayed before God, specifically requesting something, and God answered. We're also going to add in the prayer of the apostles at the end of chapter 4 in Acts, where they've been pulled in saying, hey, you're not doing this anymore. They're being persecuted, and they prayed. Those are the prayers asking for protection. And finally, I wanted to wrap up the last Sunday of the month, Jesus in prayer, looking at what we commonly refer to the Lord's Prayer, and then what I like to consider the Lord's Prayer for myself in John 17. So that is looking at prayer over this month. We can work at it. It's the muscle of our relationship with God. We can improve our prayer life. And there's different types of prayers that we're going to look at. For God's protection, for his will, for his help, and then finally how Jesus himself prays. Let's close in a word of prayer. Holy Father, you are above all and seated in the heavens. When we think of the angels as they praise you, saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. We stand in awe of who you are. We are so grateful that you have reached out to us through your Son, Jesus Christ, and brought us into the heavenly through you. We thank you that you have opened up a relationship between us and yourself through the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. It is my prayer that each one of us over the next few weeks will see our relationship with you strengthened and deepened as we focus on prayer and what it means for our relationship. Thank you so very much that we can pray and come boldly into the presence in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and your Lord.